All right, man. Take your Bible this morning, if you will, to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5. What a marvelous song that is. My Jesus, I love thee. We need to sing it more often, you know. Sometimes we get in ruts and we don't do it on purpose, but we do that on occasion. It's good to have a couple of young ladies with us this morning visiting from up in Auburn, New York, Brother Dunbar and Mrs. Dunbar's friends, Sarah and Rachel. They're here. If you have not met them, please do, all right? Please do, and get acquainted with them. Sure glad they're able to be with us, and glad they're here. It's good to see Jerry Chandler today. We're glad he's here, and I'm glad you're here, all right? Just glad you're here this morning. Take a look there, if you will, in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to begin reading in verse 43. The Bible says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same?" The same. I've been preaching along the theme this year of "Till the Trumpet Sounds." You know, we've come through a difficult time, still in a difficult time, discouraging days, you know, depressing days. I felt so sorry for folks that were, during this pandemic deal, were in nursing homes and nobody could go see them. What a terrible thing to be. What a terrible situation to be in. To be locked up like that, nobody can go see them, couldn't even get out of their own room. Listen, if you weren't crazy before, you'd be crazy after a few months of that. And the only thing to do is watch TV, read, or listen to the radio. Listen, if you watch that much television, it would drive you nuts, okay? It just couldn't help it. But, hey, it is difficult times. But I think there's some things we need to realize that it shouldn't affect God's people. Hey, we're to keep on. We're to just keep on. And I want to preach to you this morning on the subject of "Till the Trumpet Sounds, Keep On Loving." Keep on loving. Now, let me go ahead and say it right here at the beginning. I'm not speaking today about loving the way the world loves, okay? You know, the way the world loves, they only love those who love them. All right? You only love the person who loves you. You love only the lovely. Oh, if somebody's witty, if they're smart, if they're beautiful, if they're famous, or all of that kind of stuff, oh, I love them. Hey, not that. We're talking about that world's love is a shallow love. Shallow love. It comes and goes with each new day, all right? It's loving oftentimes for just personal gain. You know, just personal gain. Love like that isn't real. It doesn't resemble biblical love at all. Period, all right? Biblical love, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. You say, what does that mean, preacher? It means the opposite of what the world does. That's what it means, all right? The opposite of the kind of love the world does. And it comes out with, I looked up the word love, you know, in one of these electronic concordances, and I found out that it's mentioned 311 times in 281 verses just in the New Testament. New Testament's shorter than the Old Testament, but in the Old Testament, there's only 125 verses that contain the word love in it. Just that. We're to love better in the New Testament, okay? Amen. We're to love better under grace than we did in the Old Testament time, all right? But I found this to be interesting. What do you think the first reference to love would have been in the Bible? The first time the word love is used. Now, if we're spiritual, we think, well, it'd be about God loving man. That's not what it is. Well, it's about a husband or a wife loving. No, it's not that. Well, about loving children. No, it's not that either. You know what the first time, the first verse that uses the word love in the Bible is? It's about loving a certain kind of food. I sort of like that, if you'll know the truth, all right? You know, I mean, I could preach on that for a while, okay? Take your Bible, Genesis chapter 27. I see some of you don't believe me, right? Okay, Genesis chapter 27, if you will, look in verse 4, all right? It says, here's Isaac, he's old, and he's saying to his son Esau in verse 4, make me some savory meat such as I love. First time you find the word love in your Bible right there. So I don't believe it. Well, you got all afternoon to look in the other 26 chapters before and see if you find it, okay? It's not there. It's about loving food. I'm in favor of loving food, all right? If it's good food, I like good food, all right? I'm an advertisement for a good cook, all right? Here I am. I'm just advertisement for a good cook. Praise the Lord for good food. But that's not what I'm going to preach to you about this morning, all right? I'm not going to preach to you about that. Hey, but I think we need to keep on loving. You say what? First of all, let's keep loving God. Let's keep loving God. Look, I know what Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 and Mark chapter 12 and verse 30 say. They say this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind. That's a command from God. The Bible commands us that we're to love God. We can't be obedient, all right? Hey, that means the Old Testament commands us to love God. The New Testament commands us to love God. We're commanded to love God. But can I say this to you? That's not the reason that I think you ought to love Him. You see, I also know what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, my soul. You know what? I have really experienced the truth of John 3:16. How about you? Amen. You experienced the truth of that verse? I came to Him years ago when I was a 9-year-old boy, and I trusted Him. I put my faith really in that verse and many other verses in the Bible that said if I'd call on Him, He'd save my soul. And I found out that He did, and He did exactly what He said He would do. And I'll tell you, I found out that He does love me. And because of that love of the One who loves me, I want to love Him back. I just want to love Him back. Let's face it. Don't we enjoy loving people that love us? I mean, come on, we're normal. Nothing wrong with that. Y'all don't have to get so stiffly pious with me and say, no, I just love everybody. Yeah, okay, but the truth of the matter is, we love people that love us. Nothing wrong with loving people that love you. Well, I found out a long time ago, nobody loves me the way God loves me. Man, and I'm going to keep loving Him because He's never quit loving me. Never quit. Now, I've given Him plenty of reasons to quit. I've given Him plenty of reasons to quit loving me, but He kept loving me. I'm going to love Him. He just loved me. I don't mind singing that song, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Oh, yeah. Don't mind singing it. We sing, as Brother Marion said, and we were singing, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Truth be told, we sing, Oh, How He Loves Me. Because He loves us more than we love Him. But you know, I hear people say about God, He's not fair. A good thing He's not, or you'd be in hell today. And I would too. So don't complain God's not fair. You say, well, He didn't do me right. Now, He did you better than you deserved. So it's okay. I've heard so many people blame God for everything. Heard people blame God, said, I don't have any use for God because Grandpa died. Right. Grandpa's not going to live forever. No, sir. Not here. Nope. Not here. I've heard people that have gotten crosswise with God because of the death of a child. Friend, I want to tell you something. I'd never minimize that. It is a pain that I cannot imagine. I've tried to walk with people that have gone through that valley. It's tough. It is hard. But I'll tell you this, it's not a reason to quit loving God. The truth of the matter is we do not know what God spared that child by taking that child when he did. We don't know. We don't know. Listen, either God's God or he's not. And if he is, the God we serve and the God of the Bible is a God that loves us beyond belief. Beyond belief. And he'd never do anything that wasn't best for us. Never. Never. Hey, I'm going to keep on loving God. Does he do everything I want? No. Probably a good thing he doesn't. Because there's some people be dead, all right? But it's a good thing he doesn't do everything that I want. It's a good thing he doesn't do everything you want. But boy, let's keep loving him. The Bible commands us to do it, but oh, such a better reason is because of his great love for us. Amen. To love back the one that loves you. But now some of you listening to me, hey, you're going to have to start loving him. Right. You can't keep loving him because you never really have loved him. Right. You never really have loved him. The easiest words, I think, in the language to say is, I love you. Oh, yes. I love you. Easy to say that. We sometimes repeat that back to people simply because they say it to us. And they say, I love you. So, well, I love you too. We don't really mean it. Now, we may like them. But there's a difference between liking somebody and loving somebody. There's a difference. Hey, you need to start loving God. You need to love him the way you should. You need to have a devotion to him, a love that's unquestioned. And when it's time to sing, oh, how I love Jesus, we ought to sing it and mean it. Amen. When it's time to sing, my Jesus, I love thee, we ought to sing it and mean it. You bet. We ought to do it. Let's just keep loving God. Yeah, he doesn't do everything we want him to. We don't understand everything he does. Hey, if we could understand him totally, he wouldn't be God. But he's God. Love him. Keep loving him. Not only keep loving him, but keep loving your family. Keep loving your family. You know, I thought, what in the world scripture to use with that point in the message? That family is absolutely being destroyed in our day. And the sad thing is God's people have really got in and they're not helping. They're not helping preserve that family. But the family is being destroyed. I've seen it happen, things that I never thought would happen in this world. I've seen churches begin to agree with the change in the definition of what constitutes a family. Hey, the Bible's real plain, all right? Yeah, on a family, it's a man and a woman and children, all right? That's the family. It's a man and a woman. It's not two men and a child. It's not two women and a child. It's a man and a woman and children, all right? That's a family. That's a family. But man, when you start agreeing with that perversion of it, it contributes to the destruction of the family. I heard this week, and I'm sure some of you heard it too, Hasbro, the toy company, the makers of Potato Head. Y'all hear that they're no longer going to have a Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head? Because we don't want to confuse kids and really give them the idea that there's really two genders, all right? That would be a terrible thing if kids grew up going, hey, there's two genders. You said, why do they do that? I wonder if maybe because the CEO of the company is a potato head, all right? How in the world? We come up with that. Hey, we're destroying the family. Boy, I believe you ought to love your family. The family was God's institution. The Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 68 and verse 6 that God setteth the solitary in families. He put you in a family. He put you in a family. He put you in the one he wanted you in. Sometimes I wish everybody could have been in the family that I was in. But there's some of you I would not have wanted to share a room with. So it's a good thing you weren't, all right? But man, you know, we complain about family. Some people say, well, I wish I'd have had different parents. God gave you the parents He wants you to have. And I understand there's some of you sitting here this morning. Your situation was a long ways from perfect, okay? It was difficult. But I'll tell you, God did it to shape you for some reason. Yes, sir. For some reason. He put you in the family He wanted you to be in. Here in Fort Worth area, if you know anything about Fort Worth, you say, well, I wish I could have been in the Bass brothers' family. Very wealthy people here. Very wealthy individuals. Hey, man, I was born into the Mosley family. I didn't know we were poor. I didn't know it. We had hardwood floors on our house. Rich people have those today. Poor people had them in that day, all right? And we had hardwood floors, you know. But we had indoor plumbing. I was glad of that, you know. I'd go to my grandparents' house. They didn't, all right? So, I thought it was great. I'm glad I had the parents I had. It was in the family. I wish my brother had been better, but there you are, okay? Hey, listen, what a joy. We need to love your family. You realize this, your family is a nurturing place. Family is supposed to be a nurturing place. It's an educational institution. Educational institution. Not only that, it's a training camp. You're to train people in the family. Hey, the Bible says you're to train your children, parents. Train them, train them. When do you start? As soon as they reach puberty. No, you better start a long time before that. When do you start training them? Well, might be a good idea if you'd start reading the Bible to them before they're born, okay? You say, well, it's too late for that. They're already born. All right, start now. Start training them. You say, they're just a child. They need to be trained. They need to be trained. You got a choice. You train them or they train you. Which way is it going to be? Which way is it going to be? Hey, we live in a land today where the kids have trained the parents. That's right. The kids have trained the parents. And parents, you know, I just can't do anything with Junior. I used to, like, my dad, it just got all over him when he'd hear somebody say something like that. He said a time or two to people, you leave them with me for a week, I can straighten them out.
Yes, sir.
And he could have.
Oh, yeah.
He could have. Look. And you said, well, why? Hey, the problem is we don't train children. The house, the home's not become a training institution anymore. We talk about support groups. Can I say this to you? The family's the greatest support group in the world. Family ought to be the greatest support group there is in the world. You know what? The Bible, when we talk about the family, dad's commanded to love his wife. The Bible says men, you know, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Hey, that's men. What a responsibility that puts on us. What a responsibility. Children, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You're to obey your parents. I don't like their rules. Nobody said, do you like them? It says, obey them. Obey them. When I was coming up at home, I didn't enjoy all the rules. There were numerous times that when Dad had told us to be home at a certain time, I didn't want to be home then. But it's a smart thing to do, all right? Smart thing to do. Hey, the Bible says, Dad, you're to bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Hey, ladies, wives, you know what the Bible says? You're to be a helpmeet in all of that. You're to be a helpmeet. Have you ever stopped and thought about it? If each member of the family would do their part in that instruction, it'd prove your love for your family. It'd prove your love. I hate to see kids in families butting heads. I hate to see kids and families don't like each other. I mean bitterly don't like each other. Don't like it. My mom and dad, when my brother and I were growing up, they made us get along. They made us get along. It was forced on us. We had to get along. There was one time my brother and I were picking at each other, and we were not mad at each other, but we were picking at each other. And Dad said, we finally got a whipping. because we were picking at each other and wouldn't quit. And it was pick, but it wasn't because we were mad at each other. We were really having a good time. I just couldn't get Dad to understand that, all right? But he made us get along, and I'm so glad they did. So glad they did. Look, you're to love your family. You're to love your family. I think you're to love your family. I'm talking about the ones in the house with you, but I'm also talking about aunts and uncles and cousins and nephews and all of that. You need to love that extended family. Love your family. Appreciate them. Some of them you have to love at a distance. Right? You got family. There's one particular cousin that I think of every time I think of this. I love him at a distance. I haven't seen him in over 40 years. And don't care if I not see him again in the next 40. But I'll try to love him from a distance, all right? And he just wasn't my favorite person, all right? Did I hate him? No. No, I didn't hate him. But he's easier to love from a distance, you know? Hey, learn to love your family. God put you in the family he wanted you to be in. Love your siblings. Well, they do. Yeah, and you do too.
Oh, yes, amen.
You do too. Y'all know me. I pick on my brother preaching. I'll tell you, if the tables were turned, he could say the same kind of stuff about me. But I'm so glad we learned to get along. So glad we learned to get along. Love your family. Love God. Love your family. Not only that, let's keep loving the church. Let's keep loving the church. Hey, the Lord put it here. The Lord put it here. I'll never forget, I saw years ago, this fellow wrote a book, and the title of the book was All I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And he goes on to tell about, you know, all that kind of, really it's getting along with people. And I thought, man, not me. All I needed to know I learned in church. I learned it in church. He said, what do you mean? I learned I was a sinner. I needed to know that. I needed to know that. You need to know you're a sinner. You need to realize that. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean you've broken God's law. Things that he said to do, you don't do. And things he said not to do, you do them. You've broken God's law. You're a sinner. It's important you learn that. I needed to know that I was a sinner. But wait a minute. I also learned that in spite of that, God loved me. In spite of the fact that I was a sinner, God loved me, all right? Now, he loved me this much. He loved me so much that he died to save me. He sent his son, who was God in the flesh, to die to pay my sin debt. And then he turned around and he offered free salvation to me. He said, I'll give you eternal life. I'll give it to you. I paid for it. I bought it. It's paid for. All you have to do is trust me and accept it. I'll give you eternal life. What a deal, man. I learned that in church. Hey, you know what I also learned in church? I learned how to love in church. That's because I learned God loved me, and I learned I could love other people. I learned how to do that. I learned how to give in church. Oh, not just finances. Part of it, yes, part of it, finances. But I learned how to give of myself. Amen. To give of myself in church. I learned that in church. Hey, I found my wife in church. Best place to find them, I might say, a husband or a wife. You know what? My best friends are in church. Amen. My best friends are in church. Not only that, I go to church and get fed there. Man, I tell you, I need that feeding. I need that feeling. Thank God. I'm going to keep loving the church. Well, there's people, and I know that. There's problems in churches because there's people in churches. And churches aren't perfect because people are in there. There's people. I've often said I wouldn't have any trouble teaching school whatsoever if it wasn't for kids.
Amen, bro.
You said, preacher, that doesn't make sense. Well, you'll get it if you think about it, all right?
Amen.
Hey, churches, they're filled with people that are imperfect.
Come on,
I'm going to keep loving the church. The Bible says the Lord loved it enough to die for it. He commands us to go. Man, I think we're to love it. I think one of the worst effects of this pandemic has been that folks have been separated from the church.
Oh, yeah.
Haven't come, all right? They've lost the fellowship that you can only find there. terrible thing. We've got folks that are watching today, I hope, and I think they are, that haven't been here since last March. Boy, and I'm glad they watch, but wait a minute. They've missed the fellowship of being here, okay? Being around other people. I could have you all get up and come by and wave at the camera and say, it's good to see you, or maybe good to be seen by you. But, man, it's not like being here. It's just not the same as being there, all right? And we've gotten away from the fire, so we get a little cold towards God and things eternal. We live in a day where some have even decided they don't need the church. It's not important anymore. Not me. Not me. I still need to be fed. I still need the fellowship. I still need to obey God by being in the house of God. Boy, I tell you what, we need to keep loving the church, keep supporting the church, keep advertising the church. Don't love it less, we'll love it more. Amen. Till the trumpet sounds, I'm going to keep loving the church. I want you to go with me to James chapter 2, would you? Have your Bible, would you? Turn over to the book of James chapter 2. Now, here's where it really gets tough. You see, I don't think it's hard to love God. And I know some of you have difficult situations, and it's a little more difficult for you to love your family maybe than it is for me to love mine. But, hey, I love my family. It's not hard for me to do. I even love my son-in-law. And that is a little hard to do. Not really. I love my daughter-in-law, okay? Loved her before she was in the family, all right? I sure love the church. Sure love it. But here's the challenge. James chapter 2, would you look at verse 8? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Did you hear that? If you fulfill that royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Hey, we need to keep loving people.
Amen.
It's kind of interesting in study, and I find out that there are five times in the Bible you'll find the words, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Five times that phrase is found in the Bible. But eight times in the scriptures, it says we're to love our neighbor. Did you hear that? Five times we're commanded to love God. Eight times we're commanded to love your neighbor. One time it even says we're to love a stranger. We're to love a stranger. You know, I just submit to you, that must mean it's pretty important that we learn to love people.
Amen.
We learn to love people, all right? Now, here's the problem. They can be hard to love, right? They provoke us. They anger us. Out on the highway, they cut us off. They're rude. Get in the store, maybe a clerk, somebody, they're rude to us. They take advantage of us. They're ungrateful. Some of them think they're better than you are. When it comes to us Bible-believing Baptists, they'll tolerate anybody but us. Do you wish sometimes God hadn't said to love them? But He did. But wait a minute. Aren't you glad somebody loved you? Aren't you glad somebody loved you? You think about it. Somebody cared about you. Somebody told you how to be saved. Somebody told you how to be saved. Well, that was my dad. That was my mom. Wait a minute. Whoa. Who told them? You see, somewhere you're going to get to a point where you realized it was an outsider. It was a stranger. Man, you better be glad somebody loved you. Somebody cared about you. They invited you to church. Oh, man, what a blessing it is to be loved. And God has given us a commandment to love others, to do that loving, all right? Basking in the love of God ought to cause us to love other people. Love other people. Have you ever had so much in your hand that it started dribbling out no matter what you did? No matter how careful you were? I see kids, they'll get candy, and they want all they can get and then some, you know. And the other day I was at lunch, and my wife had a bag of chips, and I stepped up, and I reached in there and pulled me a handful out, and there was everything I could do. I was leaning them up here against me so they wouldn't fall on the floor, and my wife said, "Get them away from your tie, they'll get grease on it." I'm worried about losing the chip, not about grease on my tie, man. Hey, you know what? We bask in the love of God, and there's so much of it that it really ought to just ooze out of us. You understand what I'm saying? It's so much that we can't grab it all and hold it all. You can't hold it all in. It just comes from you, all right? We ought to have so much love that it's an easy thing to pass it on. I'm going to give you a great truth. Get ready. If you love folks, there's a better chance they'll love you. Well, preacher, that was real profound. Well, some of you live like you didn't know it, okay? If you'd love other people, it's easier for them to love you. Just start loving them, all right? And if you do it, just love people. Well, they're rude. I know it. Love rude people. Love rude people. People do things to you. Does it ever irritate you? You ever get irritated at other people? Has anybody here never got irritated at somebody else? Hey, I'm going to tell you, Friday I went to the bank. Friday I'm at the bank, and I had several things. Couldn't go in the bank. There was a problem, and for some reason or other, the bank lobby was closed. So I'm trying to transact the business through the window, you know, and there at the drive-thru, and there were several things I wanted to do. And so I made my deposit. I was supposed to get some cash back and had to ask questions. And this other guy comes up and I ask him the question. And in the midst of all of that, I get my stuff. I went home. I get home and I realize I didn't get my cash back. Now, my first reaction was aggravation. And if I'd have brooded on that long enough, I could have got really, really mad. But I called the bank. Called the number I had for the bank, and they answered. The only trouble is it was a different branch than the branch I called. So that just made it better. Lady, I'd really like to unwind on you, but you didn't do it. She said, "Did you do that, preacher?" "No." "No, but I wanted to, because I'm human. I'm human." I told her what happened. She said, "Why?" And it wasn't too long after that my phone rang, and it was the teller at the bank that had messed up. And I told her, "I'm coming after you, woman. I'm going to take it out of your heart." No, I didn't do that. I was aggravated, yeah. The only reason I'm telling you about this is because for once I did right. Okay? For once I did right. I said, "You know, well, all right." I said, "Well, I'll just come down tomorrow and get it." And I drove up on yesterday at the window, and she was way over here, and I was about three lanes out, and she said, "Hello, Mr. Mosley." She now knows me, all right? Hey, listen, we get aggravated at people, but you know what? It's still okay. Just love people. Love people. You don't know what kind of day they're having. You don't know what kind of day they're having. They could have a tough day. You know what? You can make it better if you decide to love them instead of unload on them. Let's just keep loving people. You'll never win people to the Lord till you start loving them. You can't do it. Can't do it. Yep, you're going to be treated rudely. There's going to be times you're going to knock on the door and people are going to tell you, "Get off my porch." Slam the door in your face. But I'll tell you this, you still need to love people. You need to love people, all right? God says it. God says it. Love them. Love them. Last thing I just want to say before I quit, I'm going to keep loving the Bible. Keep loving the Bible. You ever stop and think what a mess you'd be in if you didn't have the Word of God? Oh, my soul, what a mess. We'd know nothing of the love of God. Nothing of the love of God. We might have a religion like that that people have had across the world for centuries, and that's their whole religion is to appease their God. And sometimes requiring human sacrifice. And sometimes it was a human sacrifice in taking a young person and throwing them into a volcano as it, you know, boiling there, pitching in. Why? We need to appease our God. Man, I'm so glad I don't have to appease my God. I've got it in the Bible. He loves me. I don't have to appease Him. I just know He loves me because I've got His book. Hey, I wouldn't know how to get to heaven if it wasn't for this book right here. You know what I'd think? I would think you'd have to be good. Because that makes sense to you and me. It makes sense to us to think, I have to do something to get to heaven. And I have to do something to merit heaven. Man, you can't do enough to merit heaven. I'm so glad the Bible tells me that. You know what? Without this book, there'd be no hope for the future. No hope for the future. You ever thought about what it'd be like standing at the graveside? With no hope you'd ever see that person again. None. You know, people today, they people that are atheists, I look at them and they talk about the celebrating the life of a person. Let's get together and get drunk in memory of Lonzo here. Really? Really? Oh, they're wafting through the universe somewhere. Oh, I'm so glad I've got this book. I'm so glad I've got this book. Tells me how to get to heaven. Now, I wouldn't have any hope at all for the future. Man, I've stood at the grave of Mom. I've stood at the grave of Dad. I've stood at the graveside of Grandma and Grandpa. I've stood at the graveside of people that I love. And church members. Friends. But I don't stand there with the thought I'll never see him again. Thank God I stand there with a wonderful hope that one day we're going to be reunited in heaven. Why? Because this book tells me it's going to take place. I love this old book. It gives me strength for the battle. It gives me encouragement along the way. It gives me comfort in sorrow. It gives me assurance of the truth. It gives me motivation in serving God. It gives me wisdom for life's decisions. Hey, it tells me when I'm wrong. It tells me what to do to get right. It tells me how to stay right. Nothing else, no other book like it. Hey, don't tell me you love the Bible if you don't ever read it. If you don't like to hear it preached. Or you don't try to live up to its standards. You don't love this book. If you love this book, it'll show up. It'll show up. Hey, keep on loving. Let's keep loving till the trumpet sounds. Hey, maybe you need to fall in love again. You need to fall in love again. Husbands and wives sometimes get like this. Now, I'll say this to you. Love is not an emotion that just overwhelms you. Man, I was sitting there and all of a sudden, bam, I was in love. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. You made a choice. You made a choice to love the person. You made a choice. Listen, if you love me, you have to choose to love me. You just make a choice. You make a choice. There's a blonde-headed gal back there on the back row. She chose to love me. I'm sure glad she did. But it was a choice. It was a choice. I get up every morning and make the choice. I'm going to keep loving her. She said, well, did you do everything you want her to? Are you married and ask that question? Well, of course not. Get aggravated every once in a while, okay? That's all right. I still made a choice. I made a choice. Hey, you can choose to fall in love again.
Well, we just don't love each other anymore.
We'll start loving each other. Yes, sir. Choose to do it. Preacher, it ain't that easy. Well, you did it the first time. You did it first. Well, I didn't know them that good. Well, you do now. It's okay. They know your warts too, so you can keep loving them. Just choose to do it. Hey, no, my feelings have been hurt. Okay. Disappointments have come along and interrupted your life. Coldness has crept in. Maybe indifference has kind of grown. Maybe bitterness has invaded you and captured your heart. I want to say this to you. Because of such things, you've allowed your love to cool. Maybe for a spouse. Maybe for a sibling, family member, parent. God. You've got cold. And you've allowed that love to cool. Those kind of things made it hard for you to love people. Hey, you know what? Maybe you need to come this morning and exercise this thing called forgiveness. Maybe that's what you need to do. You need to come and ask God to take that bitterness out of you. You need to do that. You need to do business with Him. I want to tell you, I'm determined till the trumpet sounds, I'm going to keep loving. I'm going to keep loving God. I'm going to keep loving my family. I'm going to keep loving the church. I'm going to keep loving people. You said they'll do you wrong. They have before and they will again, but I'm going to keep loving them. I'm going to keep loving them. And I'm sure going to keep loving this book. How about you? Need to fall in love again? You don't love the way you should? That's why we're going to give the invitation this morning, folks. You said, preacher, I'm not coming forward because everybody's going to think, well, they must be mad at their husband or wife. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to think about what God's dealing with you about. And you need to quit worrying about what other people think. You need to come. You need to come. Heavenly Father, would you deal with us today? Would you just get a hold of our hearts? Lord, it's an easy thing to quit loving. We let other things interrupt us. We let other things harm us. Well, Lord, would you deal with us today? Help us to be honest with you. No doubt about how much you love us. But Lord, how about our love? Bring conviction where it's needed. Help us take care of business. If it's bitterness, it's forgiveness we need to make. Lord, help us to do it today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning as we sing the invitation hymn? Listen, God dealing with you, you need to come. Then you ought to come. You ought to come. Would you do it this morning? Sing this first verse. Come on.